prepare a sermon, I had to study and stew it day and night for 30 days. And I only have, and then Saturday I have half a day. I have things planned already. And guess what? I knew about it about 2 o'clock or 2:30. I had to visit Ella at 4. And I got it done before I went to see Ella. I said, oh, wow, God, this is awesome. And so I don't know, this time I just had peace about it. I'm not sweat over it. And guess what? I didn't sleep all night because I was going through the sermon in my mind. How am I gonna, what? You know, I'm meditating on the points, and there's so many exciting things came into my mind. And I was so excited and energized. It's 3:30, 4:30, and I'm still awake. So I'm super excited about what I'm going to share with you today. And there's so much, so much. And I don't think I'll be able to share everything that the Lord showed me. But Lord, may you just bring out all those, only the things that you want to come out of my mouth. You want to spit it out, Lord. It's all yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are going to go over a very familiar passage. And this morning, I don't want to be just informational because I don't know about it. So this morning, I want to focus on the application of the message, John 1, 1 to 18. So Dan, can you have the scriptures up so we can all read it together? Can everybody stand up and we read it together? Let's start. In the beginning, may the Lord bless his word. Please be seated. How many people are very familiar with this passage? Raise your hand. I just want to get an idea. Just a couple? Oh, I thought it's a very familiar passage. So I'm not going to do an exposition on it. So I'll just focus on, you know, application. I thought you are all very familiar with it. This is one of my favorite passage. But in this passage, I call it Jesus Revealed. And our response and a partnership with him. So Jesus, in the verses here, Jesus was, God spoke through his word, and he revealed his son to us through his written word. And there are four things that we learn about Jesus. Jesus is God eternal. Jesus is the God, the creator. Jesus is life and light. And Jesus is the incarnate, God became flesh. So I'm going to go through these four attributes of him and see what who he is relates to me. How relevant is that to me? So the first thing that Jesus was revealed as Jesus, God eternal. Because in the first verse and second verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The word in Greek is called logos. And this refers to Jesus Christ himself. Book of John is about, it's the story, it's the life story of Jesus on earth. So, Jesus, God the eternal. What does that mean to me? In the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there in the beginning of time. He was here even before time, before the creations. And he was God. He was, God is three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So he's the second person of the Trinity. So he was there in the beginning of time with the God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And if you read Genesis 1, you know they were the Trinity is together in creation. So if Jesus is God and he was in the beginning before he created everything, that means he is eternal. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's eternally past, eternally future. So what does that mean to me? That means that he's above all authorities. He's the ultimate authority. He's greater than any authority on earth. And so what he says, it goes. It doesn't matter what men says, what experts says, what the doctor says, what he says goes. Amen? So I am to submit to his authority and to his leadership. And Jesus was there before I was born. Jesus was there before you were born. And he can see your life from the time you were conceived. He saw you in your mother's womb. He saw the journey you're going to walk through in life. And he is already at the end of your journey. But you know something? This journey is not meant for you to walk alone. He already see you from the end. He come back and said, Cindy, I want to be your traveling companion. I want to walk with you. I want you to hold my hands, cling on to me, follow me closely. Don't run away from me because I want to walk with you. And I want to show you wonderful things on this journey. I want you to discover beautiful jewels on the way. Yes, there will be some part of the journey that's going to be very bumpy, very scary. But remember, I am with you. And there will be time that it will be so hard and you'll be so tired. God said, don't worry. That's when I will carry you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that encouraging? Jesus, God eternal, is with us, in us, for us, and fight for us. He provides for us and he protects us. He's our guide. He knows the journey. You don't. You have never traveled this life journey before, but he has gone through it. He knows where all the pitfall is. He knows where the danger is. Yeah. But he said, just follow me close and you'll get there safely. Don't run away from me. All right. The second point, Jesus revealed as the creator, your creator and your maker. He made you, and he is so delighted over you. When he made you, Greg, he said, it is very good. When he made you, Jennifer, boy, I did a good job on her. When he made you, Scott, boy, God, just so thrilled about what he has made. He delights over you and rejoices over you with singing. He just so, think you're so awesome. He's so proud of what he made. And he's thrilled about you. He's excited about you. He treasures you. It's his treasure possession. You know, Emily. We know Emily, our Emily, our only Emily. She, you know, God gave her the talents of art, right? Did you ever see her explain her painting? Was she very excited? Was she very delighted for what she has created? And she said, and I choose this color because of this reason, and I chose this thing to be at this position for that. She knows all the details, and she has a purpose for everything that's in that painting. And she's so excited. She can just go on and go on. You can see her face just glow with excitement and joy and pride. Naomi, do you know that's how God look at you? He's just so delighted of how he has made you. And Devon, too. He's so proud of you, of what he has made. In Genesis, as you read Genesis, after each day that God has created, what did he say to what he has created? It was very good, not just good. It was very good, Ricky. I made you, and I was very pleased. So, this is how God sees you. And you said, well, how can God love me? I fail him here, and I fail him there. You know what God says? It's okay. You're only 2 years old. I cannot expect you to drive like an 18-year-old. Come on, I'll help you get up. Let's continue on. You'll get better and better and better as you practice. It's okay to fall. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to have failures. They are not bad. They are good. It's going to make you mature. It's going to make you strong. It's okay. Give you permission to fail. Give yourself permission to make mistakes. Your failures and your mistakes are the mother of success. All right. So, if that's how God look at me, shouldn't I be looking at my brothers and sisters the same way as God sees them? God said, Rogelio, I made him in my image. And I love the way I made him. I'm so proud. I'm so delighted. How can we criticize him and put him down when he has a different opinion from us or do things different from me or see things different from me? How dare I criticize him and put him down when God says he's very good? Right? We need to value each other. We need to accept and honor each other with all our differences. Thank God that there's no 10,000 Marlene. This world is so boring. God made each one of us so different because we are here to complement each other. We are not here to compete with each other. You know, I have the gifts that you don't have, and you have the gifts that I don't have. So we work together as a team, just like a symphony, you know. Patrick can play the oboe. Kenny can play the piano. Susan can play trombone. I mean, Ricky can play the saxophone. And somebody else can play the drum, like Irene or Toby. But we don't have the passion to play the same instrument, right? Like Toby might have the passion to play the drum, but he might not have the passion to play the violin because God gave him the passion to play the drum. So we all have different gifts, right? An orchestra can be not, a symphony cannot be made by just one instrument. It's a different instrument, a different sound, and when everybody play together, the way it's supposed to play together, if they look at the conductor, follow his instructions, it'll come out to be a beautiful symphony. And that's how God, why God made us all different. We don't need to have the same template for everything. Yeah, so we need each other, and so we need to appreciate each other, even though we are different. I know we see things differently, we do things differently, but can we honor and respect each other for our differences? appreciate our differences and let's all work together using the gift that God has given to us to create a beautiful symphony. Yeah, I had to share your story. When I was a young pharmacist, I worked in a very affluent neighborhood in Cleveland called Shaker Heights. Very, very affluent. So people, when they come in, they look at you as a servant, you know. So this guy, I can never forget his name. His name is Mr. Nye. He's Jewish. And he just really impatient. You know, when I'm trying to fill his prescription, he just so impatient. And he's yelling. He said, "Wait, it takes you so long to give me my prescription. Don't you just get a bottle from the shelf and hand it to me?" He doesn't understand the process of filling a prescription. And it takes time, and we had to buy all the rules and regulations to fill that prescription. I was just angry, just mad at him. I said, ugh. But you know something? The Lord really convicted me about my attitude and my irritation with this guy. He said, "Marlene, I created him in my image. The least you can do is honor and respect him." Okay, Lord. Next time he walked in, I said, "Oh, hi, Mr. Knight. How are you today?" I'm trying to be friendly to him and show kindness to him. Guess what? Since then, his attitude changed. He was so nice after that, he doesn't even rush me. And that happened on many other occasions with different people that annoys me. So, okay, and the third thing, I just want to tell you that when I was sort of meditating like this, and I just love Isaiah 43. If you want to see how God sees you, go to Isaiah 43. There are so many beautiful words the Lord says about you. He said, "I am the one who created you. I am the one who formed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. You are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. I am with you. You are called by my name. I created you for my glory. You are my people. You are my chosen. You are the people I formed for myself so that you may proclaim my praise." How do you feel when God said that about you? That's to stir up positive emotions? Do you feel special? Do you feel loved? And that's how God sees you. You are very special, and you are very loved. You know, I go to see my granddaughter Ella Monday through Friday, and I gave her 1 hour of undivided attention. I go there, I put her on my lap. I say, "Ella, you are so precious. You are so cute. You are so awesome. You are so adorable. You are so lovable." And I keep saying all these things to her. And you know what she does? She just smiles. Even though she's, 8 months old, she smiles. She loved those words. And then one time, Marissa's sister Gina and another person in there were debating about gun control, and they were so heated in their debate, and they were like putting each other down, calling each other names. And you know something? Ella can sense it, and she starts crying. And I had to bring her to her room to get away from all that. So a baby can pick up. They love positive words, and they smile at it when they hear it. But when you say all those negative words and cut down words and critical words, man, she cries, and I have to take her out. So we need to hear those positive words from the Lord every day, and you can get it by going to the Bible. Read it. It's a love letter for you. Don't miss it, okay, what he has to say to you. Take the time, make it a priority to get into his word and find out and hear him say how he sees you. And we need to see us properly, and we need to see others properly. All right. Jesus revealed, in him is life. and light. In him is life. You know, there are young people look at me and say, you don't have a life. And they think they are having a life by, you know, pursuing the pleasures of the world. But they don't think I have a life because I go to church or I like to do spiritual things. But I'm telling you, they're the one who doesn't have a life. I am the one who's having life. You know, I am the one who can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. I can have positive emotions, and those are the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are for me to enjoy. When I have the Holy Spirit in me, I'm living according to the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Those are the emotions I have. And then when those negative emotions want to come at me, I can fight back with the apples of Spirit, which is the fruits of the Spirit. They are missing out on who they can be in God. They think all these earthly pleasures, you know, the going after the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, you know, boasting of what they have and what they have achieved. It may give you temporary pleasures, but they can enslave you. Like people, you know, they go into alcohol or drugs or pornography, gambling. It may give you a temporary pleasure, but it enslaves you, become its captive. But, you know, God wants to give out a light. Jesus said, I come to give you a light and life to the full. And I think to have the life to the full is to be all who God intended you to be and to experience God himself, to really know him and enjoy him, all he is, he wants to be for you. And he is the light. Man, did you ever try to walk in darkness? A few years back, I went with a mission team to Outer Mongolia, and we served at a camp. And guess where the bathroom is? In an outhouse way, way, way back in the camp. You had to walk quite a while to go to the outhouse. And guess what? You know, the grass, the ground, is filled with horse manures. And there are potholes, because they have a lot of horses. And so my flashlight is very important for me because I get up in the night to go to the bathroom a lot. So the light sort of keeps me away from stepping on the manures. And when I get into that outhouse, oh, my gosh, if I don't have my flashlight, I might fall into that toilet hole, you know? And guess what? One time, I went there, and I forgot. It was near, daytime, and I went, and I forgot my flashlight in there, and I lost. Somebody took it right away. So then, following night, I borrowed somebody else, because I'm not going to walk out there into that outhouse in the dark without a flashlight. And so the light is really important. We need the light when we're in darkness so we don't bump into things or fall into things or stumble and hurt ourselves. We need the light to see where we are going. And Jesus said, I am the light. Walk with me, walk in my light so you know, can see where you're going. And fourthly, Jesus said that Jesus became flesh. Boy, I'm so glad he became flesh. He is just not somebody way up there and expect us to live the life he wants us to do. No demonstrations. No, he came down. Son of God came down in the flesh to be a demo. What is it like to live this life that God has intended for us? And, you know, Jesus is not only fully divine, but he is fully human. And you know something? He understands your pain because he went through it himself. He experienced rejection, being despised, being criticized. He experienced injustice. He experienced loneliness. He experienced deep sorrow and grief. He knows exactly how you feel. And do you know something? He wants to meet you in your pain. He wants to be there to comfort you. He wants to heal you and restore you. And so we do have a high priest who empathizes with us. A lot of time we feel like, oh, nobody understands me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody know how I feel or what I'm thinking. Nobody understands my struggles. But you know something? There's one who knows all about you, who sees all things, who knows all things, and he understands exactly how you feel. And he's there to walk through this journey with you. He's there to comfort you. He's there to heal you and restore you. So let him do it, okay? Don't try to fight it yourself. All right. So far we see God, Jesus, God eternal, Jesus our maker and creator, Jesus our life and light, Jesus the incarnate God, God in the flesh who came to show us the Father, who showed us how to live, and who came to us to suffer and die, to be buried and resurrected for the remission of our sin. All right. So, after knowing these four things about Jesus being revealed in John 1, 1 to 18, there are two responses to the Christ reveal. One is in verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So you can come on Sundays and keep listening to sermons or go to Bible study or wherever, listen to messages, but all of these just stuck up in your head, in your mind. It's just only informations. But the eyes of your heart are still blinded. You do not recognize him. And you do not receive him. You reject him. Another response you can have is you heard, you receive him, and you believe in his name. And you become the children of God. You know, Kevin, in the Mandarin congregation, his mom got baptized on Easter Sunday. And you know what she told me? She told me that before I was baptized, I feel like I'm just a spectator on the outside. But she said after she got baptized that morning, she felt, I am part of family. Do you know what? Because she became a child of God and joined the family of God. And that's how she felt. That's what she told me, how she felt. I feel I belong to the family of God. I'm no longer a spectator. And, you know, for those who receive and believe in Jesus and have received into your heart by faith to be your Savior and Lord, you become children of God. And guess what? God has an invitation for you. He wants his forerunners. What are the forerunners? Forerunners for Jesus. Prepare the way of the Lord. To prepare the way for Jesus to come into people's lives. The first one, the first forerunner is who? John the Baptist. He came to preach the baptism of repentance. He came to prepare the heart for the coming of Jesus. He said, repent for the king, right? He told people to repent, and then he baptized people. But, you know, so God also called us to be his forerunners. You know, this passage, the first time this passage really spoke to me, is when I was a brand new Christian. I was in sophomore in college at University of Toledo, Ohio. I was having my quiet time in my dorm. And you know something? My heart just burned when I read about John the Baptist being the forerunner, preparing the way of the Lord for the Lord. And I said, Lord, I want to be like John the Baptist. I want to prepare the way for you to come into the people's heart. So this passage is the cry of my heart when I was 1 year old in the Lord. And, well, you say, well, how can I prepare the way of the Lord? Did you ever think about that? You can to be a witness for Jesus by the way you live your life in Christ. You need to have Jesus increase in your life and you decrease in your life. You need to let him be the Lord. Him on the throne of your life and not you. Because you know something? When you are on the throne of your life, do you know how you smell? It stinks. And it offends. And it stumbles others. But guess what? When Jesus is on the throne of your life, what type of aroma are you bringing out? Fragrance are you spreading? Roses smell so good. Yeah, love, right? Roses symbolize love. People can smell the love of Christ. They can smell the fragrance of Christ's kindness and compassion and grace and mercy. Yeah. People would love that aroma. Would you love to bring that fragrance of Christ into your workplace? Into your community? Into your sphere of influence to bless others? Would you like to be the one who carry his presence wherever you go? In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Do you want to bring that joy into your workplace? Into your school? Into wherever you go? And the people is going to be blessed by the smell and the fragrance of Christ. But I'm telling you, if you be the boss of your own life and want to run your, go your ways and stuff, you're going to really stink. And people, it's not going to enjoy it to have you around. But people will love to enjoy you when Christ is on the throne, when his fragrance is being diffused. And you can change the atmosphere wherever you're at and be a blessing. And you know people were going to say, hey, Cindy, I know you're going through a hard time, but you have such a peace in you. Can you share with me? I really need that in my life. I'm going through a divorce. My husband is running away. I'm all left alone with 3 kids. I need that peace. Can you tell me, how did you have that peace? Patrick, I see how that person treats you rudely. How can you return that rudeness with such a kindness? I want that in my life. We had to live a life so make other people jealous with what we have inside of us. We had to make them thirsty and hungry for the one who's in you, Christ, the hope of glory. Would you like to be that carrier of Christ? He is in you. But you have to let him live. You have to let him shine through you, right? So I have 2 invitations for you. First of all, is there any one of you here? I say, you know, I've been coming to church for a long time. And this Jesus you talk about, I don't think I know him personally. But I really like to have that relationship with him. I want to be connected with him. I want to know him, and I want to walk with him through this journey because I know this journey is tough and lonely and hard. I need him. Is there anybody like that in this room today that you will want him to be your savior? You want to receive him and believe in him? You want to grow in the knowledge of him? And going deeper with him in your relationship with you? All right. I assume that you all have that relationship. Praise God. Number 2, invitation. You said, Lord, I'm so grateful. that he opened my eyes to see the revealed Christ. And I have, by faith, placed my trust in him. I have received him. And I believe in him. And yes, Lord, I accept your invitation to be your partners, to prepare the way for the Lord. Yes, Lord. Come in. Send me. I'm here. Send me. Do you have that desire? If you do, please stand up. And we'll pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just praise you and bless you that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the eternal God. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are above all authority, and we submit to you. We submit to your authority. We submit to your leadership in every area of our life. Lord, we don't want to be in that, to be set on the throne of our life, of our heart, because we know we will stink very much. And we don't want to be a stumble other people with the self, the flesh that's in us. Lord Jesus, we invite you to come and be the Lord of my life. Oh, Lord, thank you for being my maker and creator. Thank you, Lord, for making me the way I am. Thank you for delighting in me. Thank you for being so excited about me and thrilled about me. Forgive me, Lord, when I don't see myself or other people the way you see me. And I start to criticize and put down people or put down myself, bringing shame on people. Please forgive me, Lord. Help me to see all these precious creation of yours and appreciate them and value them the way you value them. Forgive me, Lord. When I criticize others and putting down others or myself or having self-hatred, it's like saying to you, Lord, you did a lousy job. You did a lousy job on me, and you did a lousy job on my brother over there or sister over there. Forgive us, Lord, of our sin, of our judgmental, critical spirit, not appreciating my brothers and sisters and even the people outside the church, my coworkers, my clients. Forgive me all my bad attitudes. Forgive me, Lord. Starting today, Lord, open my eyes to see how you see me and how you see others. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that you left your heavenly home to come to earth and to suffer for us, to die on the cross for my sins so that I might have life and have it abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for the great sacrifice you have for me. And Lord, my brother and sisters and I, we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to be your partner. I want to prepare the way for your coming into people's hearts. Yes, Lord. Use me, Lord. I want to go on this exciting journey with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.